Welcome to Signs of Life, exploring survival of consciousness, brought to you by the Forever Family Foundation on the web at www.foreverfamilyfoundation.org.
I can feel you like an ocean that won't seem to let me go.
Welcome to the gathering on Signs of Life Radio. Glad to have you with us tonight. We're going to dedicate this show to a continuing series of answering listener questions. We've got a couple of good ones that have come in the last week or two. And we're here with our regular group of Tom and Melissa Gould, Fran Ginsberg, I'm Bob. And before we get started, by the way, if you want to join in the show, you can call us at 1-888-627-6008, and we're going to get all of the important announcements out of the way right now.
A very, very important announcement, and always reminders to our listeners that if ever you're wondering what we're doing here, go to foreverfamilyfoundation.org and click on the events page, and you will see the entire list of things we have planned. So just to let our listeners know about our free events that are coming up this month in March, on March 10th from 2 to 3 p.m. Eastern, 11 to noon Pacific, our Visionary Explorers group meets online. On March 10th, also from 1 to 3 p.m. Eastern time, our Afterlife Discussion group meets in Miami, Florida. On March 11th, from 2 to 4 p.m. Eastern, our Afterlife Discussion group meets in Sanibel, Florida. And on March 13th, from 6:45 p.m. to 8:45 p.m. Eastern time, our Afterlife Discussion group meets in Cold Spring Harbor, New York. We want to remind everybody that our Holiday of the Earth Raffle 2018 is up and running. As of today, I'm speaking to you, we only have 41 people who have entered this raffle. So you do the math, and you get online and buy your raffle tickets, because you can be the winner of one or more of the one-hour medium readings with our certified mediums, Amy Utzman, Angelina Diana, Dustin Livers, Rebecca Ann Lo Cicero, and Dave Campbell. And the drawing is on Earth Day, April 22nd, and winners are selected randomly by a computer program from consecutive numbers assigned at entry. It's only $5 a chance. And don't miss our next Afterlife Luncheon on May 6th. The event was a total sellout last October, and the next one promises a very special look at the afterlife as attendees spend a day with two people who have all the answers. Lloyd Auerbach, one of the world's leading parapsychologists and a respected expert on ghost, hauntings, and poltergeist phenomena, teams up with Forever Family Foundation certified medium Kim Russo, star of the TV series The Haunting of, and she will connect with those in spirit who will lead her to their loved ones in the audience. Plan to be at the Hilton Long Island Huntington in Melville, New York, for this full five-hour event, which includes raffle prizes and a scrumptious luncheon. Our next webinar of the year is this coming Wednesday, March 7th at 9 p.m. Eastern, and features Dr. Jane Katra presenting Grief as an Invitation to You to Develop Subtle Energy Perception and Awaken Higher Consciousness. The webinars are $6 for members, $20 for non-members. And sign up now for this summer's Grief Retreat in Chester, Connecticut. Mark your calendars for August 17 through 19, 2018. Super early bird rate announcements have been emailed to the members, and the event information is on our website events page. Don't miss spending an inspiring weekend with Carla Wills Brandon and Forever Family Foundation certified mediums Joe Peretta, Angelina Diana, and Amy Utzman. Watch your email boxes for a special weekend in Fort Myers, Florida, this coming November 9th through 11th, when our social network feature, Mediums Behind the Scenes, goes live. And please, please, please help us keep all of our programs going by visiting our website and clicking on the donation button. It's on every page. Because of the work we do not receive the grants and funding that all traditional not-for-profits enjoy. You can also help us pay our bills by participating in iGive.com, Amazon.com, Amazon Smile, and great nonprofits. I am done. It's all up to you now, Bob.
It's not only up to me. It's up to a lot of people at this table. And I should mention, we devote a lot of these gathering shows to this format of answering questions because, frankly, a lot of people like it. And feel free anytime if you don't want to, a lot of people don't want to call in during the show for whatever reason, and if you don't, send an email with a question at any time to could be a week leading up to the show, to radio@fervorfamilyfoundation.org. So the first question is from Marilyn, and it's like a four-parter. So is it possible that one can astral travel, be with a departed loved one, and not remember the specifics? I have the sense of being with a departed soul upon awakening from sleep, but cannot remember the specifics of the encounter, just the feeling of having shared time with the person. Hmm. So, who wants to tackle that first?
I have a question.
Yeah.
So what would constitute astral travel versus a visitation?
Yeah, that was mine.
Yeah, I don't want to speak for Marilyn. I mean, when I'm reading into it, is she's referring to astral travel the same way that we would, as you mentioned, you know, having a dream visit or some altered state of consciousness where you're catching a glimpse of a non-physical world. So, I mean, unless she specifically has a different thing in mind, but that's a good question because I was thinking the same thing. So let's assume, let's make the assumption that it's maybe in a dream or some meditative type of experience that she has the sense of being with a departed loved one, but she can't quite put her finger on it. So anybody want to address that?
Well, I think that's one of the things that we work on at the grief retreats. When we're talking about dreams per se and how to remember it, or because we're so oriented towards the physical world, once we move and we wake up and we get into the day's consciousness of I've got to get dressed, I got to take a shower, I got to go to work, I got to do this, I got to make this whole thing brings us into the physical world, and so therefore our minds are no longer in that place where we're straddling the two worlds where we would easily be able to remember. So a lot of the advice that we share during the grief retreats is as soon as you wake up, you want to have a pen and a pad or a journal by your bedside and start writing. And just that act of starting to write will bring you back to that dream state without you getting up and starting the physical world day.
In fact, Mo Hanna, I think, was one who suggested that as soon as you wake up, don't move. Just lie there before you even grab for your journal or the pen or anything.
Right.
Lie there and just think about where you just left, about your dream. And another good tip on that is don't try to go back and remember how your dream started. Remember what's the last thing in your dream. And then if you remember that, then remember, well, where was I before that? And then you can unravel your dream from the end of it back to as far as you can remember. And as soon as you do that, it'll be a little more concrete in your brain. And then you then grab your journal and write it down. And then over the two things will happen. One, you'll have the journal that you can refer to and you'll notice patterns. And two, you'll better remember your dreams.
So there are, you know, techniques that people can learn, you know, to kind of enhance these experiences. So My thought also, when she said she can't quite remember the specifics of the encounter, we know that the most common form of after-death communication that people report is this sense of presence. So it's not where they're seeing somebody visually or hearing somebody audibly or smelling somebody, but yet they're absolutely convinced that somebody's around,
right.
You know, without having specific tangible evidence. And that's intuitive evidence, right? So
right, but I think that's more, it's not like that somebody, they have evidence that somebody is around, or they sense that somebody really was in that space with them. It left them with an impression. Our problem is that we've been indoctrinated into this philosophy of only five senses. So we don't have a way to verbalize or to express being with someone but not being able to see them, touch them, remember them, or that. That's a sense of within it. This sense of presence is a sense, and we shouldn't disqualify it just because it's not among the five that we were
taught. No, if we learned in school that that was the sixth sense, a sense of presence, it would be this, we'd think of it the same way as taste and sight, right?
So I'd give it a yes on that first answer.
But I also want to say to Marilyn, she's not alone. This is a very, very, very common thing, which is why we teach strategies during the grief retreat. And another one that, and Melissa did a beautiful intention card for the grief retreat attendees, where you can set your intention before you go to bed that you are not only going to have a visit, but that you're going to remember it.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so we're going to go to our first break. We have a ton of questions to get to, so stay with us. We'll be back in 3 minutes.
The CAMLAC Center is putting birth and death back together again. Aimed at changing the way we look at death, the CAMLAC Center was founded in 2002 as a publishing company and teaching center. When we know that there is nothing but life, we realize that birth and death are events in time and space. Our grief can open us to other dimensions of reality and allow us to experience our loved ones who are no longer in the physical body. Our events and products are based on personal experiences of survival of consciousness after physical death and decades of research into how death has influenced the development of our consciousness. Visit www.camlac.com, that's K-A-M-L-A-K.com, for articles, videos, books, and more to help you cope with the loss of a loved one.
Imagine seeing spirits are spontaneously speaking indigenous Brazilian rainforest languages. Janet Mayer, a psychic medium, does just that. In her new book, Spirits, They Are Present, she opens the door to her private life in order to share her compelling, fearful, and at times humorous journey, providing evidence that when we die, we simply make a transition to another life. Spirits, They Are Present, available now at www.janetmayer.net, Amazon, and other online booksellers. Order your copy today.
Am I Psychic is a mobile app designed using statistics, science, and parapsychological protocols to test psychic ability using fun games. Each game has two unique modes. In psychokinesis mode, influence the game using mind over matter ability. In extrasensory perception mode, guess which random option will be chosen. Am I Psychic can store your results in an anonymous database used to eventually publish in academic journals. Available on the App Store and Google Play. Go to ampsychicapp.com and be a part of proving psychic phenomena to the world. Some profits will be donated to the Rhine Research Center.
We all grieve in different ways, and let's face it, grief hurts. Losing a loved one is usually the hardest event we will ever face. We can throw our hands up and become hardened by our grief, or we can take positive steps to transform it. Love knows no death. A groundbreaking and powerful grief transformation method can be what you've been looking for to provide some peace and understanding. It was created and written by medical doctor and professor Dr. Piero Calvi Perazzetti, and it's a combination of a self-help workbook and video course. The workbook has the power to lessen grief and foster significant healing, and has already helped countless people to not only lead productive lives, but to do so with the knowledge that they will indeed see their loved ones again. The workbook can be purchased for $19.95 on Amazon or on the ForeverFamilyFoundation.org grief and loss page, where a digital version is also available for $9.95. Love knows no death. Truer words have never been spoken. After-death communication is an accepted occurrence in many cultures throughout the world, but for many others, proof of this phenomenon is essential, and research shows that contact helps move people through loss and grief. The Sign Registry allows people to register signs that they, after passing, plan on communicating to specific loved ones. Contact the Forever Family Foundation at foreverfamilyfoundation.org or go directly to thesignregistry.com.
And welcome back to The Gathering on Signs of Life Radio. The number here is 1-888-627-6008. And we're addressing some questions that you threw out there for discussion. So Michelle writes, are people confused at the time of death and aren't able to cross over yet?
Yet.
Well, okay, so, at the time of death, right, you've crossed, right? I mean, you may be before death, you're straddling two words, and then you...
Yeah, so you're already crossing at the time of death.
Yeah, but then the question is there a period of confusion, you know, right after you cross?
And my opinion, after? That's not what she's saying.
No.
Only confusion that comes up in the data that gets collected is that there are some people who are confused because of their cultural or religious orientation to what to expect. Yeah. And then when they get there and it's not like that, because it's this wonderful, fabulous, compassion-loving place, and that's not what they were taught it was, then, yeah, confusion sets in because they expected one thing, they got something else.
Or if they think it's the end and they're still seeing and hearing things.
Right.
Then they go, and they're not sure that they're actually dead yet.
Right. Or even watching what's still going on in the physical world.
But also, Michelle, she might actually be meaning the way she wrote it, is that they're confused at the time of death. So, they're, you know, if you are in the state of confusion when you're approaching death, is that somehow...
You mean mental confusion?
Yeah, a prohibiting factor in you... making the
I would say absolutely not, because once you leave the physical body, you leave all the physical attributes behind,
right.
The illnesses, everything is left behind. That's the first thing that we know, is they come to us and they say, I'm not bound by any of the physical illnesses or problems that
no
I
pain.
Had.
We keep hearing
right.
that.
No pain.
Well, yeah, on the other hand, though, you hear of a lot of people that they kind of choose that the moment of death, you know, maybe they're waiting for a loved one to arrive, or maybe they're waiting for a loved one to leave because they don't, you know, I'm just throwing it out there. Maybe at the time when you're getting ready to cross, maybe you want to go, maybe you don't want to go.
No,
you know?
I interpret that. Those stories of people waiting for somebody not to be in the room or to be in the room or whatever that timing is, I truly believe that that's not the physical person thinking. I think that's their consciousness already planning how to best help these people understand that they're crossing over to a better place and that everything is good.
Yeah.
So if the situation is such that person should not be in the room when they're crossing, then they will wait till the person leaves.
Yeah, I agree with what all of you were saying before. I mean, it depends on... I mean, so if you led a very materialistic life and you absolutely didn't believe that there was life after death, you know, now you physically die, you find yourself still alive, man, you're going to be confused. I mean, how could you not? You know, the good thing is that, you know, it's like an adjustment period like everything else, and then you assimilate and you have help and you know, and you move on. So,
Well, we could go back to our favorite book, Testimony of Life, of Light, where they talk about people on the other side, entities on the other side, whose assignment it is to assist these people who are confused when they cross over.
Yeah. All right, so let's take a question from Sheila. Now, here's the one that I was referring to with the multiple parts. So we could break it up. I'll read them all at once, and then we could... So Sheila writes, what is the point of prayer? If I don't pray for someone, does it hurt them? And if I pray for them and my prayer is not answered, why bother?
Mm.
And what if someone has no one to pray for them? Is that fair? Okay, so...
I love this. Yeah.
So let's start with the first. You know, what's the point of prayer? I mean, why do we pray for somebody? I mean, we pray for them.
Have a better outcome.
Well, not even necessarily. I mean, if the person is going to cross over anyway, there's no reason for you not to still say positive prayers. I mean, you can't change the outcome necessarily, but you can still help with the transition. Yeah. I think that the
Let's assume that they're already deceased. You know,
right.
What's the point of prayer then?
Praying for a deceased person?
Yes.
I think the problem is the word prayer is because it's taken on a religious connotation. And so when people hear that word, they're thinking of praying to help something. And I think the whole concept of prayer really is intention and putting intention into making something better. Just because somebody is crossing over doesn't mean they can't. That the whole world or the transition or all the people that are connected to this crossing over can't be improved, per se.
I'm sorry, tell me.
I was just going to, exactly what I was going to say about the word intention is the operative word. And yes, it's very powerful. I mean, there have been examples of prayer groups, if you will, that will get together with a common intention and all pray for some healing or something like that, and then healing actually occurs. So I think the point to pray for someone on the other side is just that they're still on a journey, and you can pray for them to do well on their journey, you know, rest in peace, if you will. It's one of the ultimate ones, I believe anything that is done with love will benefit the person on the other side. The people who have no one to pray for them, that's an interesting question. But they're not alone because there are, as you mentioned earlier, there are people or spirit on the other side whose main purpose is to make sure nobody's alone and that they will be, they'll be taken in. And, of course, from near-death experiences, people say, you know, as soon as you're on the other side, you're overwhelmed with the great feeling of love that you experience.
Yeah, so, I mean, we might say, you know, as far as the point of prayer or intention, you know, is to let our loved ones know that we still love them, you know, just the way that they try to come through to let us know that they still love us. So, and the other one of the other points of setting your intention or prayer would be to help them in some way through the mechanism of love that they can use that to progress in the realm that they are. But then, you know, the one part of the question was, you know, if I pray for them and my prayer is not answered, why bother? Well, what are you asking for,
right?
You know, if it's not answered? I take that to mean a lot of people will pray that they will come to them. It's all like, will you make yourself appear to me? Will you send me a sign? Will you communicate with me? And if they don't see that, then she's asking, well, then why bother? Well, you know, I mean, there may be a lot of reasons why you're not getting the desired result, but that doesn't mean you shouldn't keep trying, right?
Right, and also that kind of makes you think that we are in a society of where we want instant gratification, and you pray tonight, and then tomorrow morning you say, "Well, nothing happened." Well,
right.
A lot of prayers get answered in good time, mm-hmm. in their own time. When you need the answer, you'll get the answer,
right.
kind of thing. And also, there is no time on the other side. So, if your prayer is heard and you get some sort of sign or answer in 6 months, the person on the other side isn't aware that you're waiting.
Right, but then I want to go back to the word prayer. So if she says, "So if I don't pray," well, you know what? You don't have to pray if you still love that person.
No.
You're still expressing love to that person. You don't have to say a specific prayer. You don't have to set a specific intention. As long as you're recognizing that love, that's something that's shared. And I think that also speaks to the fact that nobody crosses over by themselves. That even though the person may not have had living relatives here in this world, there are still soul connections that when he
they
or she
at least
gets,
have a mother. On,
that's true, too.
Mother's most, if they're on the other side, your mother is who you will see.
Right, but on a soul level,
yeah.
that we're all connected.
That's
so
true.
It doesn't matter that you didn't have somebody in the physical world because you still have mm-hmm. that energy of all the other entities that you're connected to.
That's very important. And, yeah, very. I'm reading a book on healing and the major component is when you recognize that we are all connected, that's your first step towards healing yourself or others.
Wow.
So I think we've pretty much answered the question, if I don't pray for someone, does it hurt them? You know, it's not the physical act of reciting some sort of a prayer. It's what's in your heart. And we believe that, yes, that's communicated to them. You know, so... you don't have to take some physical action. It's you know, it's just in the ether. You know, it's communicated. So you know, you're certainly not gonna hurt them. And Tom, you addressed it. You know, if you have no one to pray for them, you know, that sometimes like parents who have lost small children, they worry. Well, they didn't know any.
Yeah.
See, who's gonna pray for? You know, who's gonna
greet
them? You know, so. And you mentioned the one, I don't know if it was Tom or Fran, about possible soul groups, you know, so it's not, we can't think of it in that physical sense, you know. I mean, there are child reports say that there are teams of people, you know, helping, you know, on
and just as I mentioned before, a mother, a grandmother, an aunt, an uncle, anybody who's passed over, who's a family member. We'll greet that person.
Right. Go ahead.
All those dogs we're always hearing about coming up to greet.
Right.
Yeah, that's right.
Right, the dog.
Michelle had another question. I want to understand where the loved ones who live on get their energy to continue. Because we in the physical form eat food day to day to keep our physical selves alive. What's the energetic source in the spirit realm?
She answered her own question, the energy.
Yeah. We are energy.
The universe is an energy flow, and you are a part of it. We're a part of it now, whether we realize it or not. But you know, we're a little more solid. But when we lose the mortal coil, we're pure energy, and that's what keeps us going.
Right. So I just want to answer that from the other perspective.
Yeah.
Because in the physical world, the physical body needs the food and the sustenance.
Yeah. Yeah.
In the non-physical world, there's no physical body to keep the cells alive and to keep the intestines going and to keep the heart going. And you don't have to do that. Those things are not there.
Phew. What a relief.
Well, I mean, since ancient times, everybody's cultures believed in this universal energy source, you know, and it's silly to think it's just... a product of our physical existence. It permeates the universe, and chi and ode and all these people call it different names, but no reason to think it doesn't continue in other dimensions, right? Maybe it's a different form of energy, but energy nonetheless. Liz would like to know, and I think we may have answered something similar in the past, but do our loved ones miss us like we miss them?
I hate to tell Liz that we've heard no.
They can see us anytime. It's not a matter of... I understand there's different gradations of missing. I mean, when I always bring up the fact that, well, yeah, my loved one is gone, and I miss them around here because I can't give them a hug, I can't call them on the phone, but I do know that they're there, and I know we will be together again sometime. So missing is also a very physical world thing that relies on time, because you lose someone, and then a year goes by, and you think back in that year and go, wow, I really miss those times we had together. Whereas, again, we are here, if we're lucky, for 100 years, but our energy is infinite. And so in infinity, 100 years compared to infinity is just a blip. It's a blink of an eye. So when you're now pure energy living an eternal life, you look back at your loved one and say, well, they're going to be here like this.
Next week.
Yeah. You know, 100 years will go like that, and you'll be all together again. So it's not a matter of missing, it's just a matter of see you soon.
But they do have the ability, like you said before, to see and hear and be part of our lives. Wouldn't it be wonderful if on a daily basis we would recognize that with them?
Yes.
Sounds like we gain a tremendous perspective when we die, right?
One could only hope.
All will be revealed.
Well, maybe not all.
No?
No, I don't think, you know, people think that you know, as soon as you pass out of the physical, that all of a sudden you're, you know, going to be
all-knowing.
In the white flowing robes and, you know, the omniscience and all this, but really you're just going on your next step. And I've heard in readings about, my father, one came through in a reading and talked about appealing to a higher source when from the other side for a problem that was existing here. So there are still levels of growth.
And that was in Testimony of Light, too.
Right.
It's almost
right.
Like an elevator. You could go up and visit those higher floors, perhaps.
But they didn't delineate it like actual levels. It was more like this smooth grossing, this hierarchy of this intensity of light. And as you became more enlightened, your soul became more enlightened, you moved closer and closer to the source.
Yeah.
I know we're going to go to a break soon. I was looking for one that we might be, there are no short answers.
Not sure with us.
Yeah.
You could do your break now.
If I open myself up to receive information, does that mean that I will be visited by ghosts? You know, I think that's kind of addressing, like, the fear aspect of it. You know, if I open myself up, will things that I'll be fearful of happen? You know, I interpret that to mean, like, inviting in maybe... spirits that maybe are not so well-intentioned, you know?
Well, the mediums do protect themselves before they do readings, and it most likely is for that very reason, that they only want information and entities of the greater good to come to them so that they can, with their work, do good. So we do know that there are dark energies. We do know that there are things that we would not want to invite in.
Yeah. Also, you know, people commonly think of ghosts in a negative kind of a fashion, you know, but ghosts are just loved ones coming to visit, right? I mean, that they're apparitions, you know, I mean, maybe sometimes we don't know who they are, but in a lot of cases, you know, if your loved one came to you, would you say, oh my God, I saw a ghost? Or would you say, hi, Mom, you know, so, you know, so.
Isn't it Dr. Beischel who says ghosts are people, too?
Right. Okay, now we're going to go to a quick break, and we'll be back in 3 or 3.5 minutes. I'm not sure, but we'll be back soon.
It looks like 3.5.
Okay.
The CAMLAC Center is putting birth and death back together again. Aimed at changing the way we look at death, the CAMLAC Center was founded in 2002 as a publishing company and teaching center. When we know that there is nothing but life, we realize that birth and death are events in time and space. Our grief can open us to other dimensions of reality and allow us to experience our loved ones who are no longer in the physical body. Our events and products are based on personal experiences of survival of consciousness after physical death and decades of research into how death has influenced the development of our consciousness. Visit www.camlac.com, that's K-A-M-L-A-K.com, for articles, videos, books, and more to help you cope with the loss of a loved one.
Hello, I am Lloyd Auerbach, parapsychologist and author. You can learn much more about life after death, precognition, mind-matter interactions, remote viewing, ghost hunting, and other psychic experiences and research through the acclaimed Distance Learning Parapsychological Studies program at HCH Institute. Our courses are audio-based with additional written and video material. Call HCH at 925-283-3941 or visit www.hypnotherapytraining.com. Our courses include The Search for Life After Death, Being Psychic, Psychokinesis and Precognition, Ghost Hunting, Theories and Models of Psychic Experience, and more. Taken singly or as part of the certificate program, these courses will enrich your knowledge of parapsychology and the range of psychic phenomena. You'll learn about being psychic yourself. Visit www.hypnotherapytraining.com or call 925-283-3941 for information about our individual distance learning courses and certificate program.
Hello, my name's Piero Calvi Parisetti, MD. I invite you to discover my video course on Evidence for Life After Life, a professional counseling resource for the bereaved and the dying.
Transform the fear of death, heal the pain of a loss by learning about life after life.
For more information and a free preview, visit www.drparisetti.com. That's drparisetti in one word.
I would like to introduce you to the Forever Family Foundation, a nonprofit organization whose mission is to provide support for families who have suffered the loss of a loved one. We believe in the continuity of the family, even though a member has left the physical world. We invite anyone who's trying to cope with the loss of a loved one to contact the Forever Family Foundation at 631-425-7707 or on the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org.
We all grieve in different ways, and let's face it, grief hurts. Losing a loved one is usually the hardest event we will ever face. We can throw our hands up and become hardened by our grief, or we can take positive steps to transform it. Love knows no death. A groundbreaking and powerful grief transformation method can be what you've been looking for to provide some peace and understanding. It was created and written by medical doctor and professor Dr. Piero Calvi Parisetti, and it's a combination of a self-help workbook and video course. The workbook has the power to lessen grief and foster significant healing, and has already helped countless people to not only lead productive lives, but to do so with the knowledge that they will indeed see their loved ones again. The workbook could be purchased for $19.95 on Amazon or on the foreverfamilyfoundation.org grief and loss page, where a digital version is also available for $9.95. Love knows no death. Truer words have never been spoken.
And welcome back to the Gathering on Signs of Life Radio. We're taking the questions that you have written in. And the next one, now, this one is interesting. It's from Brianna. She said, my question is, I have heard from mediums that the souls from babies miscarried, stillborn, or aborted come through readings and are watching out for loved ones in the physical world. What about a molar pregnancy? The reason I ask is my mother had a molar pregnancy before my older brother was born. My older brother died in a hit-and-run accident last year, and the grief has been tough, but I'm curious if he might know another sibling on the other side. The thing about molar pregnancy, though, there is no embryo. So does that mean it is more of an illness and no soul was assigned as a baby to my mom, if that makes sense? Now, I have to admit, I read the question. I had to look up in Wikipedia what a molar pregnancy is.
Yeah,
and it was in Wikipedia?
Yeah, okay. And it's an abnormal form of pregnancy in which a non-viable fertilized egg implants in the uterus, and it'll fail to come to term. It's some sort of an anomaly of cells, like a mass of cells.
I'm just going to get science on you for a bit. So if there's the normal process is for the egg to travel, get fertilized, continue on its travel, and then implant in the uterus. So it's possible, it's very possible, that it would bypass being fertilized or the fertilization didn't take, and yet the egg is still on its journey and will implant. So that's probably biologically how that takes place. So if you're going to look at it from that point of view, the concept that we would have to discuss would be at what point does the soul attach or come into or decide that it's going to be that egg?
A viable
being. Is it before it's fertilized? Very likely, because it's waiting for the other part of the journey to proceed.
So, in this situation where an embryo doesn't form, the question is, do I have a soul? Right, but because of the brother who's now on the other side, is the brother being greeted by a soul saying, hey, I'm your brother.
Right. But she said she went to mediums, and so the question would beg if the mediums brought through another sibling.
You know, it's very difficult this is one of those questions that sort of rides on the line of what we can understand in our mind's eye, again, going back to the Seth, because all souls are connected.
Right.
So whether it's your baby or not a baby, and there's a soul around, you're connected to that soul. Whether it becomes a human and not, doesn't mean that it's not your, say, maybe it's one of your guides. There are spirit guides who never were human that are here to help you and see you on your way. Perhaps that was one of your spirit guides. I guess what I would suggest is to analyze how it made you feel, how your life is different because of that experience. And that is probably what was being sent to you in that form.
Yeah, I recall reading a whole bunch of things addressing when a soul would attach, you know, and specifically one case I remember is a reincarnation case that may have come out of Ian Stevenson's work, you know, where the soul actually saw a pregnant woman, you know, and decided that this was going to be, you know, the soul's mom. And the woman, as I recall, was already 5, 6, 7 months pregnant, you know, and implanted at that time, you know, attached at that time, like sort of just popped on, you know.
Yeah.
Now, so I don't know, you know, maybe that's an exception. I don't know how it gets done. There's no reason to...
Well, maybe it doesn't matter when it gets
maybe
done.
Maybe it doesn't matter.
Randomly gets done.
Right.
Maybe it gets done before, when you're just a thought and two people are getting ready to
Right. So that's where that that's where that saying comes from, when you were just a twinkle in your father's eye.
Right.
Because he already had an intention of one day I'm going to get married and we're going to have children, that you were a twinkle. So souls have a twinkle. They know what they're going to do. They've already decided they're going to incarnate. So they either have a plan or they're working on
it. And it begs the question, do we have only one soul?
We are part of what we are
and what our consciousness, you know, what drives us or our passions put us in a soul group. that we talked about before on the other side. You know, if you're a musician on the other side, you're going to see, you're going to be with other musicians. You're going to be, doctors are going to be with doctors. You know, if that's what you are, you're going to be with your soul group. So what's to say that you're not a walking soul group? And again, it's kind of a cop out, it seems, but we're all connected. So yeah, we're all a soul group all the time.
I'll just say that I used to twinkle a lot more when I was younger than.
We could dress them up.
I don't know. I'm thinking walk.
Just got me with that twinkle on the eye. Person writes, I witnessed Joe Scheel doing spirit art. What type of mediumship is that considered?
Oh, we should ask Joe that question.
I know my answer from observing it is that I know that somebody would push to claim that it is physical mediumship, but I think it's a mental mediumship. Joe Scheel is a very well-noted artist. He does beautiful, beautiful, beautiful work. He's an artist. And if he sees spirit as a mental medium and he draws it, it's still mental mediumship. It doesn't change the fact that he's talented.
A lot of mediums, as we know, will see the spirit. You say, I see somebody behind you. Well, he sees it, and he has the talent to say, and this is what they look like.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah,
right.
That's right. Good answer.
Question, what do people mean when they talk about life between lives? Are we stuck someplace? It's a reincarnation question, right? I mean, so if you have... With reincarnation, do you just go from one life to the next, or is there a time out, you know, or is there...
Whatever you want.
Whatever you want.
If you want to stay on the other side, you stay on. If you get this longing to have this physical experience again, you reincarnate.
And I have a problem with life between life, because there is... Saying between means that there's an end and then beginning, but... Life is continuous,
right? So
it's eternal.
Life, I guess, physical, physical life.
Yeah, physical life is definitely between us there.
For anyone who watches The Amazing Race, it's like you go on a challenge. It's like, oh, this challenge is too tough. I'm going to switch. So it's like you go on to the other side, but then you're like, oh, working towards that higher light. This is, I think I'd rather go back in the physical form and do it through good deeds.
Yeah, and I'm not really a big proponent of this, but people talk about this time on Earth being a schooling and that you've come here to learn something. And, you know, maybe you thought you were done and that, and you got to the other side and said, you know, I could really use some tutoring or brushing up or a special session. And you go back to learn better what you came here to learn.
Question, do you think that the need lessens for our departed loved ones to communicate when they feel that we don't need the evidence anymore?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, because we keep making the assumption that they're sitting on a bunch of clouds with harps just floating around, and we have to understand that there's some sort of functionality that may not fit our definition of functionality that goes on in the non-physical world. And so part of what they do for us is to help alleviate some of the pain of loss by staying in touch. And so as we progress and we transform that grief, they can then get on with their lives the same way we have to get on with ours.
Right. The need might go away, but I don't think that the communication necessarily does. I'm reminded of Laura Lynn Jackson, who says, you know, I've told my spirit that if you want to let me know you're around, show me an aardvark. And then she's had that for years, and she has stories of aardvarks showing up in the most interesting places. And then you see one, you know, for us it's cardinals, or for some people it's a coin on the ground or a feather. You know, if you see it, you're getting the communication. So they'll say hi. It may not be as dramatic as we would hope.
Yeah. And I think it's kind of common experience that the communications wane as time goes on in our physical lives. I mean, that they're more prevalent in a year or two after somebody's passing. But that doesn't mean that, as you said, the communication stops. There are reports of people communicating 40, 50 of our years, 60 years down the road. So and the need's a two-way street. And maybe they see that we're doing, you know, okay, and we have come to know that they're doing well too. So,
are you talking about spontaneous communication or communication for a need down the road? When you're talking about all of a sudden down the road,
talking about the general any type of communication, you know, any type of after death communication.
Right, but if you're saying it doesn't necessarily have to have purpose to it. But that's my question.
Yeah, no, it doesn't have to have purpose, but it can be. It can be a need. I'm thinking of Dave Kane and his son who died in the fire at the rock concert, and his wife couldn't let go of the image of her son burning to death alive, and thinking, "My God, that must have been so excruciating," and she couldn't let go of her poor son suffering, and it was dragging her down, making her unhealthy, and so the sign came through from a medium saying that I had to, a medium called Dave out of the blue, said, you know, I had to call you up, and your son says, no pain, no pain, and they even, you know, a license plate said no.
Yeah, well, that was Dave's story. That went further than that.
You know, yeah, it kept
every time
and
let
go.
It was one. They were driving in a car one day, and she revisited this terror that she had about Nick, and Dave just, you know, stopped the car and this is the way it is. We went to this medium, no pain. We went to that medium, no pain. We went to that medium, no pain. And it's going through the whole gamut, and then the car in front of them. Pulls in front of them, and the license plate says, no pain. That's how that story played out. So that was, so you say, okay, so Nick is saying, okay, so let's just send this whole story home, Mom. It's no pain.
Yeah, I mean, you did bring up an interesting point, though, when you asked your question, is that we tend to think, at least initially, of after-death communication as being purposeful, that the message is for a specific reason. It may be to let you know that they're okay, which will help us, or sometimes to communicate something specific, like where an item is located or where, you know, so, but then there are also types of communication where it's just a simple hello.
Would you get, if you got a simple hello 30 years down the road and you hadn't gotten anything for a while, would you take it seriously? Would you then go back and question it again? It would have to be so evidential, so specific that you'd have no doubt that it wasn't just a hello.
Well, if it happened 30 years down the road, you might tend to reflect upon it, like what's happening in your life that, you know, you're coming to say hello now. Is this something I should pay attention to?
Right, and that made me think of when my father crossed, he never, ever, ever communicated. And then how many, 20 years later, some odd years later, when my mother had crossed over, instead of her, my father then shows up, not to me, but to Bob, to tell him that he has a medical problem that he has to take care of. So that's purposeful.
Yeah.
And here's something where he's never communicated at all, ever. And he basically still hasn't communicated with me. He went to you because...
You like me better. No, I mean, I don't know, maybe, like you said, there was a specific purpose.
Yeah.
So if he came to you and you relayed the information to me, it wouldn't have had the same impact because I might have questioned it.
Right.
But here, it was direct personal contact.
Right.
I couldn't question it.
So. Right.
Yeah.
He was smart. He remained.
But it was still purposeful.
Right. Yeah.
All right. Well, we've reached the end of our session, and we thank you all for listening. And remember, if you have any questions, send it to radio@foreverfamilyfoundation.org.
Fran? Okay. We now ask our listeners to please join us in our Healing Energy Circle prayer. May the universe create a channel of healing energy from our participating listeners, sending that energy to those who are in need of recovery of the physical body, spirit, and mind, as we visualize the healing light upon Kat Berard, Robin Murray, Ashley Jackson, Matt Mello, and Peanut and Enton. Now let us, as one consciousness, give our energy of loving thought by praying like this: to love one another, to treat others as we would like to be treated, to forgive others and return love for hate, kindness for anger, to spread this feeling to everyone, to our fellow man, as well as the earth and its environment. And now it's time to say,
our loved ones are only a heartbeat away,
and science is going to prove it.
Good night, everyone.